May be seated. Tonight we're doing lesson number 13, and there are notes in the front and back if you need it as we continue in our study of the Messiah in the Tanakh. And so tonight we're going to look at Jesus entering into his public ministry. So we've already seen, of course, we've followed the Savior's family tree, if you will, through the scriptures, all the way from Genesis chapter 3 to Matthew chapter 1. We've seen his family line through Seth and through Shem and through Abraham and through Jacob and, of course, through David. And we followed his family tree and we saw how he would be preceded by a forerunner who was John the Baptist. And a couple of lessons ago, two lessons ago, we saw that the Messiah Jesus would be filled with the Spirit of God, and that this filling enabled him to do his messianic work as a man. And that's one of the great mysteries of the incarnation to ponder. And we pondered that a little bit this past Sunday in Sunday school at the adult class in Winnesquam. Jesus is God, but yet in his humanity, he depended on the Spirit of God, not his Godhead. You know, that's Philippians chapter 2, you know, and that's, you know, we really can't fully comprehend that and understand that. But he was filled with the Spirit. He received this filling, as we saw at his baptism. And then immediately we know from the scriptures, the Bible said he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness, and he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and he was tempted during that time. And just as the first Adam, was tempted by the devil and lost, one-time event and lost, Jesus was tempted multiple times by the devil, and of course Jesus came out victorious every time. So the second Adam, Paul calls him. So after soundly defeating Satan, Luke tells us in Luke 4, 14 and 15, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. So word started spreading about this Jesus as he taught in the synagogues and as he taught and he went about teaching and people were glorifying God because of what he was saying. So tonight we'll see that he enters his public ministry in his hometown of Nazareth. The two times I have been to Israel, we have been to Nazareth. There really is no historical sites in Nazareth. There's kind of like Nazareth Park or Nazareth Village. So it's kind of like you go to a place here and they kind of recreate something from the old days. That's what Nazareth Village is like, you know. They show you what it was like to be a carpenter, to work a loom and things like that. But Nazareth is a modern city. You know, Jesus would not recognize his hometown today if he went. I say that kind of half-heartedly. You know, how many of you have gone back to your hometown and it's changed a lot, right? Well, Nazareth has changed a lot. But he enters his public ministry in his hometown, where he was raised, at Nazareth. So there's a prophecy in Isaiah 61, if you could turn there tonight, Isaiah 61. There is a prophecy about the Lord, about the Messiah, in Isaiah 61, the first verse and part of the second verse. And follow along with me, Isaiah 61, starting in verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. So this passage announces the Messiah's twofold commission to bring the gospel, to bring gospel mercy at his first coming. So we stopped reading in the middle of verse 2 because that's where we're going to see in a moment. Jesus stopped reading at the temple, at the synagogue in Nazareth. The rest of the verse, the rest of the chapter goes on to talk about, and it's a good chapter for you to read, but it talks more about his second coming, okay? First coming, second coming. And of course, the second coming, he speaks of the judgment of the unbelievers and the comfort to Zion at his second coming. But did you note the verse 1? It's a wonderful Trinitarian passage. Now, of course, the Trinity is a doctrine we believe, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You will never find the word Trinity in the Bible, right? But you will find passages that speak of the Trinity. Even the word God, the Hebrew word Elohim, it ends in the I am, which in the Hebrew is the plural ending. Why would a single noun end in a plural? But anyway, that's a story for another lesson. But notice this verse. Notice first what? The Spirit. So there's the Holy Spirit of the Lord God. There's the Father. Is upon who? Me, the Son. Okay? So here's a good Trinitarian passage to share with your Jehovah Witness friends when they come knocking on your door. Okay? And to remind them that yes, and they'll tell you, you know the word Trinity is not in the Bible. We know. We know. But the teaching, what was that? Yeah, yep. There's a lot of words that aren't in the Bible that we use. But this exact prophecy that we just read is fulfilled in Luke 4, if you would turn there. Luke 4. Now I want to ask, it might seem like a goofy question, but I'm a goofy guy. So I want to ask a question before we read this passage. If there were such a thing as a time machine, and you can travel back into biblical times, into some certain biblical account, where would you want to go? So I need some participation here. Where would you want to go? What is an account or an event in the Bible? Let me qualify this. Knowing what you know now, going back, where would you like to go?
Mars Hill.
Mars Hill, okay? Paul on Mars Hill, okay? Seeing the resurrection, okay? Anybody else ever think of this? The fiery furnace. Ooh, that's a good one. Yep. This is a passage. Pete, were you going to say something? Walking on water, being in the ship. Yeah, I mean, this passage right here is Pastor Dan's top five, okay? When Jesus is in his hometown synagogue, and he comes to the synagogue, and it's his turn to read from the scroll, and I know our King James says he opened the book. They didn't have books in those days, but he unrolled the scroll, and he read this passage, and he gave the scroll back to the attendant, and he sat down. Wouldn't you just love to have been there? I mean, this is just one of those, love to have been there. Look what it says in Luke 4, verse 16. Now, remember what we just read in Isaiah 61. Luke 4, 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, so notice that phrase first, as his custom was, what was Jesus used to doing? Going to synagogue, okay? He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book. So remember, I stopped reading in the middle of verse 2 because that's where Jesus stopped reading, because this is what speaks of in chapter 61. There were no chapters back then, but in chapter 61, this is where Jesus stopped reading. He closes the book, he closes the scroll, it says, and he gave it to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And this is where I would just love to be there, you know. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Isn't that awesome? You know, Jesus who we're going to see in a moment, who grew up there amongst them, all of this, he's there with them, and he gets up and he reads it. And it usually, this is what happened in the synagogue. People would read, and there would be exhortation given. And Jesus gives a very short exhortation. Guess what? It's fulfilled today. And, you know, I just would have loved to have been there. Little side note. When we were in Israel, we were at the Shrine of the Book, and the Shrine of the Book is it's a pretty big building, and it's all built around the scroll of Isaiah that was found in the Dead Sea Scrolls. And to walk around the whole scroll is unwound, okay? And it goes all the way around. Probably takes up about these two sections. You know, so if you could read Hebrew, you could read the whole scroll of Isaiah, but you would have to walk in a circle. The scroll of Isaiah, the building that it's in, is a bomb shelter for that scroll. The dome will come down and go down 3 or 4 floors into a concrete bomb, you know, to protect that. They're worshiping, unfortunately, the book rather than the God of the book. But our guide, Ellie, thank you. Our guide, Ellie, I said, Ellie, you got to find Isaiah 61 for me. He says, there's no chapters and verses. I said, I know, but it's got to be toward the end. You know, you got to, and he found it, and he read it to us in Hebrew, and it was just, I'm sorry about, you know, a little bit, but it was just cool to hear, you know, it in the language that Jesus would have read that in. So he reads it. He sits. He tells everybody it's been fulfilled. He sits down, and everybody's just staring at him. And again, he stops reading because he stops reading where it speaks about his first advent. And then think about this. Jesus, who had spent his whole life in this synagogue, returns to tell them that he's the fulfillment of this prophecy. How did they respond? Look at verse 22. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? So, He spoke how? Graciously. These were gracious words. He spoke differently. Think about this, friends. This is the Word reading the written Word. Can you imagine that? The author of the book reading the book. And they responded by saying, this, he's so gracious. But then Jesus begins to give more dissertation. Well, first, isn't this Joseph's son? You know, isn't this the carpenter's son? We know him, right? And he said unto them, ye will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Wow, where did that happen? On the cross, right? He healed others. Himself he can't save. Come on down off the cross. He said, whatsoever ye have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias or Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months with great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, the city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisuus, or Elisha, the prophet. And none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman, the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. Now, why were they filled with wrath at what Jesus said, which was written in their own Tanakh? The widow and Naaman were Gentiles. And Jesus was saying, look, you're all saying, oh, isn't his word so gracious? Isn't he wonderful? Isn't it lovely? Jesus knew that they were going to turn on him. He said, you know, the Gentiles were the ones who heard the word in the past. And they rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon the city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. And he, passing through the midst of them, went his way and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath day. And we'll see next week. Well, actually, next week I won't be here, Pastor Andrew, but he's going to continue in this. He'll pick up right there in Capernaum next week. But so they didn't respond to him. In fact, they sought to kill him. Oh, he speaks so good. Prophet's not without honor in his hometown. You know, hey, this is Jesus. He's not the Messiah. This is Joseph's son. This is Mary's son. And they didn't believe him. They didn't. In fact, when he kind of rebuked them and rebuked Israel, you know, when two of the greatest prophets that walked in those days, Elijah and Elisha, they didn't do a lot in Israel. It was the Gentiles that came and were healed. Look at John 1, sad words. John 1. Remember, this is the commencing of Jesus' ministry. John 1, verse 10 and 11, the Bible says, he was in the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and what's the sad phrase? His own received him not. Came unto his own, but his own received him not. You know, I don't fully understand why, you know, the Jewish people in droves didn't accept him, but it was prophesied, you know, and it was part of God's plan. There's coming a future day when Paul tells us all Israel will be saved, so praise God for that. And there were Jewish people who were believers. I'm not doubting that, but you know, they didn't believe him. Today, America, Christian nation, right? I use that term loosely. Many people don't believe him. We're coming up on a holiday that's very precious to us, and I bet you half of America doesn't even understand the true meaning of Christmas, you know? So he starts his ministry, his public ministry in his own hometown, and it doesn't start off too well, you know? The passage he read was cool, great, right, fitting, but you know, his teaching wasn't accepted, and so from here on out, Jesus would be, of course, doing as we'll see as we go through this, doing many miracles, but also fighting, arguing, debating, running, if you will, sometimes hiding from the people who sought to kill him. Okay? All right, Alex, if you could. Any questions, thoughts, comments on anything?